Well, I can't remember if it was last month in December or the month before that in November, but I mentioned the fact that one day I was driving out on 465, and the lane I was in all of a sudden slowed, and as we finally made our way around this individual who was, he wasn't going the speed limit. He was going faster than the official speed limit, but not as fast as the unofficial speed limit like the rest of us were. And I mentioned that when I passed him, he had a bumper sticker that said, "I'm retired, go around me." And I said, "I got to get me one of those." Well, a couple of days later, Alan Russell walks into my office and hands me this bumper sticker that says, "I'm retired, go around me." Did I mention that I also saw a yellow Mustang convertible out on 465 one day? No. So, hey, you know, ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask, you know, you're probably not likely to get it. Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. In what we know as the Apostle Paul's second letter to the young evangelist Timothy, he begins the letter by reminding Timothy of the faith that was in his grandmother and in his mother, and Paul was sure was in Timothy as well. And he reminds Timothy of the gift that he had been given, and he tells Timothy that God has given us a spirit not of timidity, but one of power and love and discipline. And as a result of having that spirit of power and love and discipline, he tells Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and not to be ashamed of the testimony of Paul, a prisoner for the Lord. And I don't know about you all, but I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm ashamed of. I've done a lot of things in my life that you all don't know about. I've done a lot of things that, you know, my parents never knew about, my brothers and sisters never knew about. I've done a lot of things in my life that nobody knows about but me and God. And if you all were to find out, I would be ashamed. And I would be embarrassed. And we probably all done some things that if other people knew about, we would be embarrassed and we would be ashamed. And Paul tells Timothy to go preach and to go teach and not to be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not smart enough to know if it's worse now than it ever has been. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that I am seeing more and more public comments about Christianity, and the comments are mostly negative. And Christians are being made fun of and are being ridiculed for believing that there used to be somebody that was alive and claimed to be the Son of God and then was killed and then was buried. And we believe that he was raised from the dead, and now he's back in heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and we can't see him, and we can't talk to him, and we can't touch him. And yet, we believe that happened. And we live our lives as Jesus, whom we claim to be the Son of God and our Lord and Savior. We try to live our lives like he taught us to. And we are being ridiculed for that. And obviously it was prevalent in those days because Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of the fact that Jesus stood before Pilate and told him who he was. And don't be ashamed of the fact that Paul is in jail for teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He tells Timothy, don't let that bother you. Don't be ashamed. And then he tells him, for this reason, because he's going out and preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ, Paul also suffers. But he says, but I'm not ashamed because I know two things. I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to keep what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul was never embarrassed to stand up wherever he was and to proclaim to whoever was around, whether they were just a common, average, everyday citizen, or whether or not it was King Agrippa himself. Paul was never embarrassed to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. One, because he knew Jesus. When he was on the road to Damascus, before he became a Christian, he was going to Damascus to arrest Christians and haul them back to Jerusalem so they could be tried and hopefully convicted for believing that this Jesus is the Son of God. And the Lord appears to him. And the Lord calls him by his name, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul goes, well, who are you? And Jesus said to him, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And so he struck blind. He gets to Damascus. 3 days later, Ananias comes to him. He restores Saul's sight. Saul is convinced that Jesus is the Christ. He's baptized. And Luke tells us that immediately Paul gets into the synagogue and starts proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. And from that time on, Paul spent his life getting to know Jesus. In his letters to the saints at Philippi, the Apostle Paul tells them that he counts everything as rubbish for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He dedicated his life to getting to know Jesus. And so he tells to Timothy, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus told Pilate. I'm not ashamed of the message of the gospel because I know Jesus. And then he says, and I'm also convinced that he is able to keep what I have entrusted to him until that day. And as I understand it, that's the day of judgment. What had Paul entrusted to God? Well, the short answer is he had entrusted his life to him. If you read the letter to the saints in Philippi, and some other letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, we learn that Paul was an extremely zealous Jew. He was a member of the sect of the Pharisees who took the law almost literally. And they had devised these rules and these regulations to keep an individual from getting even close to sinning. And Paul was extremely zealous of that. And again, he was out arresting Christians and having them thrown in jail. He stood by and consented as those individuals, members of his own party, people that he knew, stoned Stephen to death. Paul was on his way up the corporate ladder of Judaism, if you will. And he says, I gave all of that up. I gave all of that up for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And I turned my life over to him. Paul gave up his rise up the corporate ladder and dedicated his life to serving God and to proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, or that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. That's what he entrusted to God. That's what he gave to God. He said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And again, as we talked about in class this morning, God was the one who told him to go. God was the one who called him. God was the one who gave him the job of preaching and teaching. Now, I know, as well as most everybody here today does, that God doesn't expect all of us to quit our jobs and go out and preach and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Apostle Paul worked. From time to time, when he needed to, he made tents. And he sold tents to take care of himself. And it wasn't that God expected him to give up everything and live off other people. And God doesn't expect us to give up our jobs and live off other people. But what he does expect and what he does demand of us all who claim his Son as our Lord and Savior and Master is that our life, everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think is brought captive by the love and the gratitude that we have for him. And I think the question that we all need to ask ourselves every day is, what have we entrusted to God? Every now and then I tease the guys that I play handball with, and every now and then I tease my brothers and sisters, you have to go to work today because you have to pay my Social Security. They don't really like that. Most of the guys that I play handball, three out of the four people that I play handball with are retired. There's only one of them who's working. And so we always tease him, all right, Kevin, you got to go to work, you know, make some money so you can pay our Social Security. God doesn't expect us to be destitute, if you will. God doesn't expect us to quit our jobs and live off other people. But he does expect that we give our life to him. How many of us worry about where our next meal is coming from? There are some people in this room who are worried about that. You know why most of us aren't worried about where our next meal is coming from? Because we've got enough confidence in our ability to go to work and get paid and buy our own food. There are people who are concerned about what they have to wear. You know why most of us aren't? Because we got enough faith and trust in ourselves to be able to get a job and buy our own clothes. And so when we come to those passages of Scripture where Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. And don't worry about what you're going to wear. It's not because he thinks we got enough sense to take care of ourselves. Some of us spend way too much time entrusting our life to ourselves. I can take care of myself. When we lived in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, we lived off a one-lane road, and whenever it was bad, you know, snow, icy or whatever, I never started praying till I got to that one-lane road because I had enough sense to drive on a two-lane road. I had enough confidence in my ability to be able to handle a four-lane road and then a two-lane road. And really, the only reason I prayed when I got on the one-lane road was not because I didn't have enough faith in myself and my ability to drive, it's for the other people. We need to trust God. We need to entrust our life to God. How many of us have ever taken a job based upon how it will help us best serve God? How many of us have ever passed up a job that we were good at and that we were qualified for? But we passed it up because it would negatively affect our ability to serve God. How many of us have passed up a promotion because it would negatively affect our ability to serve God? How many of us have bought a car that was cheaper than the one we wanted so that we would have more money to give to those who are in need? Paul entrusted his life, everything that he had, to God because he was convinced God would hold on to it. And when the day of judgment comes, Paul trusted that Jesus, and this probably won't happen this way, but Paul trusted and he was convinced that Jesus would stand out and say, Father, he's mine. Don't ever be embarrassed. Don't ever be embarrassed to tell somebody that you're a Christian. Don't ever be ashamed to claim Jesus as your Lord and Master. And we will never be embarrassed to do that if we know Him and if we are convinced that He is able to keep what we've entrusted to Him until the day of judgment. And if we live that way, if we live with a conviction that God is able to keep what we've entrusted to Him, you want to talk about a life that is full of joy and peace and comfort? That's how you get a life like that, by entrusting your life to Jesus, and He'll take care of it. We're going to stand in a few minutes and we're going to sing a couple of songs. The first one is Make Me a Servant, because that's what most of us have here today have said that we want to be. We want to be a servant of God, and we're going to stand and sing that God does whatever it takes to make us that way. Some of us are just hoping it'll be fairly easy. I heard some guy talking the other day, and he said, one of the things that he said that impressed me so much, everything you want is on the other side of hard. Being a Christian sometimes is not easy. Getting to know Jesus sometimes is not easy. Resisting temptation sometimes is not easy. Sometimes it's hard being a Christian. A lot of times it's hard doing the right thing. But we're going to sing, Make Me a Servant. And we've got to be willing to let God do that to us. And then after that, we're going to sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And I am convinced that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. And I would suggest to all of us, myself included, if we're not willing to do that, then let's not sing it. But if we are willing to do that, then let's sing it with conviction. No reason to leave the building this morning without being in a right relationship with God. He loved everybody here enough to send His Son to die for us. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you want to put Him on as your Lord and Master, we can help you do that today. And if there are things in your life that you're struggling with, a couple of the elders and their wives are going to be in the back. Some of them may be walking around during the songs, but if there's something that you're struggling with and you need the prayers, go to the elders. Come up here if you need to. No reason to leave this morning outside of a great, proper, beautiful, harmonious relationship with the God who loves us. So let's think about that while we stand and sing.